Welcome to Off the Cut, a podcast where we talk about building, making,
and answering all of your questions.
I'm Eric from Spensley Design Co.
And I'm Zach from Zach Builds. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on air, you can send it to offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find both of us on YouTube, Instagram, and unfortunately, because we have to keep up with kids, you can find us on TikTok too.
All right, now let's get into the show.
Howdy, everyone, and welcome to Off the Cut, episode 88. We're up in Toronto and here in Ohio. Today is known as it's Monday, isn't it?
It's Monday today.
Oh, I messed up these notes.
This just goes to show how much of the intro gets copied and pasted every week.
Known as Monday, October 30th, 2023, and on this day in history, the Green Suitors podcast, the worst woodworking podcast in our space, available on Apple and Spotify, stole the Declaration of Independence in an attempt to actually have something interesting to talk about. But, Zach, one thing that the Green Suitors podcast will never achieve is a sponsorship by KM Tools.
That's right, baby.
Here we go. If you aren't familiar with KM Tools, well, it's the tool company that our hair gel loving friend Jonathan Katz-Moses started. You know him, Zach.
You sure do. He's the man keeping Dapper Dan in business.
What's Dapper Dan?
It's a hair gel company. It's like the cheapest hair gel you can find.
It's like you find it like a gas station, you get it in like a 5 gallon jug.
Exactly.
Well, if you don't know who Jonathan is, just look him up on IMDb. And here's the thing about KM Tools. Their slogan is that woodworking should be accessible for everyone, and the company was made by woodworkers for woodworkers.
That's true.
Which means that unlike all the BS you see all over Temu, Alibaba, Banggood, KM Tools only stocks tools that are the highest quality money can buy and or are an insane bang for the buck, like your mom. Their other slogan is that if it's in their store, it's in their shop. That means they're not trying to sell you a bunch of hot garbage they've never used before, like everybody on YouTube, just because they're high margins. Jonathan accomplishes this. This was actually his words when we talked
last week. Yeah, a direct quote from the last phone conversation we had.
By launching a rocket into space while holding on to the outside. Seems a little dangerous to me, but that allows KM Tools to have everything you want and need, like sandpaper, finish, saw blades, all kinds of stuff. They got it all. And if that's not enough, Zach, a portion of all their profits go directly to the Katz-Moses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund, which helps get tools and resources into the hands of those who need it most. Which I do have to say, the gentleman that I did the project for last year,
I was going to say, that was going to be my segue. You actually participated in this with this charity. So, yeah.
He got a full Avid CNC from this Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund.
Damn.
Right. They set him up with an Avid CNC.
Wow. Damn. I mean, if you're a disabled woodworker, that's kind of a godsend, you know, because you can, all of a sudden, you're not limited by your mobility issues to a certain degree. You can think out the parts ahead of time and have the machine make them to a large degree. So that's pretty cool.
Right. I mean, and that's the end of our ad read. And thanks, Jonathan and KM Tools, for sponsoring the show. But I think this, it's kind of interesting to talk more about that. This isn't part of what we have to do, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay. So first of all, I think we have to call this episode the one where they sell out.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
And then I think let's talk about that, but I want to circle back and talk more about how the sponsorship worked, because I think that's also pretty interesting.
Yes, yeah. So go ahead. I'll put a pin in that. So as far as the Woodworkers with Disabilities thing, yes, I had the opportunity to do that last year, which was awesome. And I want to make it crystal clear. I'm not a lawyer on their legal team whatsoever, but they will help out anyone with any ADA recognized disability. So it could be like, you know, I believe PTSD is one, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be like, you know, you're missing a limb or you're in a wheelchair or anything like that. Sure. Any sort of just, you know, disability whatsoever, reach out to them. They have so many resources that they want to help people. And their biggest issue now is that there just aren't not enough people are reaching out saying, I'm looking for help.
Well, if there's anybody who listens to the show that happens to be disabled in any way, reach out, because like Eric is saying, they're in need of people to help out. So
right. Yeah. And they'll hook you up.
Yeah. Yeah, Jonathan, evidently.
Jonathan knows some people. Yeah. And it's pretty cool. And then Chris Giffro, who we had on the show for like last year, I think. He might have been one of our first guests.
One of our first five guests. I think it was like episode like 7 or something.
Yeah.
Crazy yeah, like yeah. that. Yeah.
But he is he's in charge of it. He's the director of that. So just mm-hmm. another you know, face person you might know about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So should we talk about the elephant in the room?
Yeah. Let's talk about why we chose to take on a sponsorship for this podcast. Because we have said in the past that we'd be very reluctant to take on a sponsorship, right?
Absolutely. And why were we reluctant, Zach?
Well, I mean, I guess, we don't want to annoy the audience. We want to make sure that the audience gets something of value from the partnership, too. And we'll talk more about that soon.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't know, like, we wanted to find something that was a really good fit for the show.
Right.
And I think we get that with Jonathan. Because not only is he a content creator, a woodworker, but he's also just a friend of ours, too. So right. when the opportunity came up, it seemed to make sense. And we knew we could make, if we worked with Jonathan, we could do stuff like make your mom jokes in the middle of the ad.
He encourages you know? It.
Right. Exactly. We knew it was going to be a fun partnership, and that one that we think will add value to the podcast.
Right. And so with that, I should say, I'm going to tread lightly with what I say because we're still hammering in all the details. But
exactly, yeah.
Obviously, people understand with a sponsorship, we're doing this because, let's be transparent, that's part of this podcast. They are paying us to promote mm-hmm.
yep,
KM Tools.
Yep.
But Zach and I, the very first thing we said when we had this conversation was, that's great, but what are we going to do for the listeners, right? Yeah. Like, we don't want to just, you know, sell out, have an ad read, and then, like, you guys get nothing out of this. So, we're working through some final details, but I think you guys are going to be pretty pumped with what we've got coming out. Mm-hmm. There's going to be one thing that is specifically for patrons, yep. so the people who support the podcast, but there's also going to be another thing that is for everyone, no matter if you're just a regular listener on Patreon yeah. or not, it's going to yeah. be available for you guys at all. So stay tuned. We've got some more stuff going on. This is a work in progress. And, you know, check out KM Tools. They got good stuff.
Yes, they definitely do. And I mean, that was the other thing, too. Like, we know Jonathan has put his heart and soul into this company.
Right.
He believes in everything that's on that store. A lot of it he's, you know, helped engineer himself, or right. like you said before, it's something that's like actually in his shop. So I don't know. It seemed like I couldn't have imagined a better partner for this podcast. So
right, right.
Pretty psyched, you know, on it.
It's in the space. He allows us like to have fun with the ad read. I know it went a little long today, but I'm sure we'll find a way to tighten it up and make it funny and just, you know.
Yeah.
It's week one. It's week one.
One thing that I said to Eric was like, we cannot do this ad read pre-recorded. I don't want to away to like the same one that you're going to hear week after week after week. So we're going to try and make it funny and keep it fresh and
right.
fun for you guys too.
Yeah. It's like the intro to the after show for all of our patrons. Exactly. We always do something wild. We always have a bunch of laughs and screw around. Ooh, speaking of Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
Since we did our huge update on Patreon with all the tiers, mm-hmm. I'm fairly positive it's all set up correctly. But I do want to again say to any patrons, if for whatever reason you didn't get your sticker and you want it, let me know. I will take care of you. I will send it to you. I'll get it taken care of. Our intention is not to screw anybody over. And one of the other things, I don't even think I told you guys about this. I just made the executive decision and did it. Ooh. Yeah. With the new update on Patreon, we're able to give people trials to like a free 7-day trial to become a patron.
Oh, okay. That's neat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So on the I added that. I think it only let me do one of the tiers, so I did it on the one that's going to have like the live hangouts. So you'll get like a 7-day free trial. So if you want to just check out the after show and see what that's all about, you sign up for a trial.
Wait. Sorry, I'm confused. So somebody can do a trial of the... So a non-Patreon person could do a trial of the after show and see what the after show is like?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if it was allowed. Does it also allow, like, say somebody's on the lowest tier, does it then also allow them to skip to the highest tier so that they can, like, join us for, like, one of the group hangs?
I have no idea.
Okay, we should find that out, because I think that would be a good feature, too. I'd like, you know, I'd like everybody, especially the first one we do, I'd like it if everybody could join. That'd be kind of fun.
I would assume probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Exactly. Or maybe the first group hangout, we just open it for everyone.
Yeah, we can do that too.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Derek?
Oh, I said, Zach, always looking out for the little man.
Yeah. And also, in full transparency, to not be deceitful at all, just so you guys know, the way free trials work with any service, you sign up. If you forget to cancel, they charge you. So let's be crystal clear about that. If you sign up for the trial just to check out the after show and you don't intend to stay on Patreon, that's cool. Make sure you cancel it.
Make sure you cancel. Yeah.
I thought
that
was
important. Make sure you download every episode. Make sure you download every episode of the after show and then cancel before 7 days.
Yeah. I mean, come on. We've talked about this. We both know that we are those kind of people. So honestly,
more power to you. Blame you. If that's what you
want to
do.
If you do that. Right?
Our first group hang is going to be big.
Yeah. 3,000 people. Well, that's a lot of admin stuff. Let's what have you been working on, Zach?
Whew, yeah. So today I was we talked about last week about how if a video goes well, then you iterate on that video and you do it again but different, right?
Yeah, and you're crushing it, dude.
Well, thank you. So, probably about 4 months ago, I posted my I made a Nintendo Switch Pro, where I modified my Nintendo Switch. I made a custom dock for it, and I did a bunch of other things. So today, I've been working on a follow-up to that video. So there's two versions of the Nintendo Switch that you can get. There's like the basic one that's really easy to hack and modify, and then there's the OLED version, which is the newer one that's much harder to hack into and modify. So I spent all day today hunched over it with a soldering iron trying to do the most precision solder that I've ever done in my life.
The drag thing?
Even more precise than that. So I think I may have bricked it. We'll see. I just ordered a microscope with a video camera attached to it so that I can use that to actually see what I'm doing, because the work I'm doing is so detailed. My eyes are failing me. Like, I can get up like within an inch of it, and I just can't get my eyes to focus. It's so small.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I got this microscope that's essentially connects to a screen, and it also has an SD card in it. So it's good for recording the video. I'll be able to like record all the super detailed stuff that I'm doing.
Pumped. Like, I'm genuinely, this is super interesting.
Cool. So hopefully I'll be able to repair it and see, but
so that was my day. What do you think happened? Do you think you like bridged connectors?
I think if I had to guess, I probably bridged connectors, or maybe I've just not connected something that I thought I had connected, but it won't turn on now, which is the crappy thing. So I think I must have bridged a connection somewhere inside of it.
Did you unplug it and plug it back in?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Did you reset cache and cookies?
Yeah.
Trying to give you.
So that was my day today. I basically ran into a bunch of problems, and then I threw some money at them to see if I could fix it.
Hey, I mean, that's the American way. Mm-hmm. What percent likelihood would you say you bricked this thing?
I'd say like low. I'd say 25% chance that I bricked it and 75% chance that I'm just going to have to get in there and remove a little bit of solder, redo a couple connections and fix it that way.
So let's say you did bridge a couple connectors, right? And then you went to go power it on. Does it have like onboard fuses, relays, capacitors that you could potentially could have like blown those components on there?
Potentially, yeah. I don't think there's any fuses at this level. Like there's nothing, no little dip switch that I could reset or something like that. The most likely thing is because it's incredibly low voltage in a lot of these scenarios, even if I did bridge some adjacent connectors, it rather than just completely cooking the machine, it's probably causing it to just function incorrectly to the point where it won't boot. But if I fix that connection, there will be no permanent damage and the logic would then be able to run correctly and it would boot again.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Because if you bridge something and you power it on, it should have like instantaneously, you know, shut itself off. It didn't, it wasn't sustainable power long enough to potentially destroy it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, worst case scenario, I'll go buy another Nintendo Switch and keep going with the project.
But I mean, thankfully, the videos have been doing well enough the past, you know, several months that, I mean, not to be arrogant or anything, but if you have to spend another $500 or $1,000, it's you're okay.
That's what I did with the my last, second last video, the ROG Ally one. I ended up bricking one. Well, not bricking. I ended up destroying the case for one. So I had to go buy a second one. But luckily, it's like, you know, I had a sponsor. I had the budget. I was like, okay, you know, this sucks. I'm essentially losing $1,000, but it's on a video that's going to potentially make multiples of that. So,
but see, that's the thing. Like, your audience is going to love if, you know, you're showing working on the Switch and then you get a crap moment and you prick it. They're going to be like, okay. So, like, he doesn't just do it perfectly every time. They're going to love that.
Well, I'm hoping what I can do is have the oh crap moment where it doesn't turn on and then I can then show people how to fix it.
Right.
Rather than just go like that. I think that's more valuable than just going and, you know, spending more money. But if I have to, I will.
So this is probably anecdotal, but have like, do you find that a lot of your audience that's watching your videos are also performing this stuff or trying to accomplish this stuff, or is it more entertainment?
I think it's more entertainment. It's just the same as woodworking, honestly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, you do a video, gets 100,000 views, and three people buy the plans, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Dude, my last one, the Nintendo 64, I made the 3D print files available for it.
Yeah, I just watched it the other day. Anybody buy it?
So I think I have 300,000 views thereabouts on that video, and I've sold 5 of the 3D print files.
So you made $25.
So I made $25. Yeah. And I had one guy, and it's funny, I forgot to include one of, so I, you know, I can, it's actually a bunch of 3D print files.
It's a zip file.
It's a zip file. So I compiled all of them into the zip file and actually forgot to include one. So I had a guy email me and he was like, hey, there's like one of the STLs is missing. So I had to go through the process of responding to his email, going and creating a new zip, uploading that to Etsy. Then he also emailed me because Etsy was being a little bit weird. So probably had about 2 hours into just troubleshooting this issue. It was obviously my own fault. I actually refunded the guy's money just because of the hassle of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. So I just, you know, made $25. I worked 2 hours for that. So, you know, $12.50 an hour.
Right. Okay, I guess this is different than plans because it's basically just the STL file. So you had already created them and you're just like repurposing. Yeah. But dude, if you make like plans and you spend, you know, for everybody out there, you know, plans take a while.
Days.
A while, yeah.
Right. And I have plans that I have never sold.
Really?
Oh,
I'm surprised
to
hear that because I've, you know, I know not all plans are big sellers, but I assumed you would have sold at least a couple on some of your videos.
No.
See, this is digital product. I was actually out to dinner with a friend recently, and I was thinking about this. I was really reluctant to do plans in the past, especially when I was doing more woodworking projects, because I really didn't know if a video was going to do well. Mm-hmm. You know, you might get 100,000 views, you might get 10,000. Right. And it's like, if you get 10,000, it's probably not going to be worth it. I feel like as a creator, you really have to dial in. You have to know that you're going to get X number of views per video before you right. invest all the time into creating a digital product that goes with the video. Right.
Yes and no, because when I first started, I made plans for every single thing that I built.
And now you have a huge back catalog of plans, which is
yeah, kind of nice. I have yeah, 58 true. Now, I think.
Right. Right.
And honestly, that was my very, very first revenue stream. I might have only been making like 50, 75 bucks a month. But I mean, that was like before I was monetized on YouTube and before I had any sponsors. And like, that was really the first kind of like consistent, albeit. Okay.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. So if you had to, income. If you personally had to do it all again, would you still start with plans or would you wait till yeah okay all right
but I wouldn't have given them out for free because my first like 15 are free.
Okay. I mean, that was a growth strategy I saw for a while on YouTube. People would put like free plans right in the title,
right? And that's what I did, and it didn't do much. I remember I was listening, oh man, I can't remember what the podcast was called. They don't do it anymore. It's Mike from Modern Builds. He was like one of the YouTube guys that I first started watching back in like 2016, 2017 or whatever. No, probably later than that. But yeah, his thing was always like, oh, I'm always giving out free plans. And I was like, man, maybe I should do that too. But then as I became more knowledgeable about the business and what it was doing, it was basically I'm giving out free plans, but then I'm putting a sponsor in the video, so it's like you can offset that, right?
Right. Yes. Yes.
You're making 15 grand on a 60-second mid-roll ad. You can give out free plans.
Yeah. I wonder if it'd be interesting to see how the evolution of pay for creators and sponsorships has changed over the years.
I would love to know.
Yeah. Like, did you think like back in 2016 he was getting 15 grand for a mid-roll ad or something like that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
I wonder if this could be something we could ask our agent Mark about. Like, if be like, hey, how's the landscape changed? He might be an interesting podcast guest.
That's what I was just gonna say. I think he'd be a good guest if we could talk him into it.
Yeah, he's a talker. He loves to talk.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Every time I get on the phone with him, it's like at least half an hour.
Right. It's same with Jonathan. You get on the phone with Jonathan, and he's like, oh, let me show you what I'm making, what I'm modeling. And like, I love that stuff. I love the behind the scenes of like product creation and everything like that. So like, I'm not making fun of, well, I am making fun of them, but I love it. I love it. That's good.
So what were you working on today?
So I am still waiting on the chessboard to fully cure on the top. I'm so nervous. Damn. I'm going to flip it over and sand it and then like indent the top. So
they make those like sanding puck things. Have you ever seen those before?
I have them, but I'm still nervous it's going to indent them. I want the epoxy to like fully cure for like 5x the time it says it should.
Okay. So you're not so much
so sure.
You're not so much worried about like little things scratching it. You're more so worried about the pressure of those pucks creating like puck shaped indents on it.
Right.
Yeah. So for people at home who haven't really worked with epoxy that much, it's surprisingly soft up to like a week after you pour it.
Like, I mean, it's cured in like 24 hours to the touch.
Yeah. You could like knock on it and it would sound hard. But if you took a clamp and clamped it to the table and then removed the clamp, there may very well be an indent where that clamp was.
A sizable indent too. We're not talking like a 256th of an inch. Like if you clamped it pretty good, you can like eighth of an inch, quarter inch.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm trying to remember the first time I experienced that. I think it was when I did that, like the what you affectionately call the crop circle table. When I was working on that, because it was like a week after I poured the epoxy, and I was like, the top of this thing is still like, I put clamps on it, there'd be indents. I when I was running it through my drum sander, it started like cupping on me because of the heat of sanding it.
Right. It makes it like gummy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hanging out in the closet.
Oh, is it behind you right now?
Yeah. I mean, I could grab it if you want to see it.
I do kind of want to see it. Is that too much of a spoiler?
No, it's fine. You know, this video won't be out for like 3 years.
Yeah, that's true. What about you, Derek? You got anything going on?
Actually, today I just wrapped up my kitchen island. I'm going to be delivering that tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one.
Okay, here he comes. I already see, I like the white spaces on it, I think.
So this is going to be great.
Oh, that looks so
podcast
good.
Podcast material. So yeah.
Looks like marble.
Yeah, oh, that's so good looking. And, oh, look, I can see the reflection of your computer screen, and it's so clean.
Yeah. So like, it looks like, pretty good, right?
It's like a mirror finish coming through the camera. Anyways. Yeah.
So, like, I'm really happy with how the top looks. Mm-hmm. As far as, like, that's a mirror reflection. Like, you can literally see yourself in there.
I can see myself in it right now.
I can see myself.
And, like, here's how hard it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm worried that if I leave it prolonged on the top surface, that I could potentially, like, you know, just indent it.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to, next week I'm going on vacation. So I think I'm going to let this set up the entire time I'm on vacation, which will be almost 3 weeks now, two or three weeks, which I'm happy. I think that's fully cured.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, and I don't think you would do this because it'd be too risky, but we talked about how Blake from BM Sculptures will take a big thing of epoxy and put it in a freezer to slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
Could you put that in like a toaster oven at like, you know, 150 degrees?
So I'm pretty sure on Total Boat, it tells you that you're not supposed to take the temperature, even when it's fully cured, above like 120 90. Or something. 190.
Oh, really? Okay.
I thought it was 90 for while it's curing.
Okay. Okay.
Like, because I'm in Texas, so that's something I have to be mindful of.
Right.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
Because of the exothermic reaction. But yeah, the top looks solid. Mm-hmm. And then because I flood coated the top, you can see that it has like the little, like, basically pimples, boogers kind of hanging on the underside.
Yeah.
Those are
feet. Those are feet. So what I'm going to do is then sand this, the whole bottom flat, get all those little bump nipple boogers off. And then I'm going to like slowly coat it with some like polyurethane.
Yep.
So the bottom probably isn't going to be like crystal clear, but it's also the bottom of a chessboard.
Yeah. Who cares?
And you and I both know, Zach, that this is like crystal clear mirror finish right now. But as soon as pieces start sliding all over it, it's going to get scratched up.
Well, I was just thinking about that. You almost need to get like little felt feet for the bottom of the chess pieces.
Right.
Like, you know how they make those little circular... I think I've even seen... I mean, don't most chess pieces have felt on the bottom of them anyways? What am I talking about? Maybe this is like...
I think so. Yeah.
A little green felt thing they always have on the bottom.
But I mean... Green. Yeah. But that's green's more like the pool table.
Yeah.
Probably depends on the color of the piece or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. This reminds me of, so back in my grade 7 and 8 school, and this shows you what a little hoodlum I was when I was a kid, we had chess class. And it was basically just an hour. Yeah, it was an hour. I don't know what it was. It was like once a month or something like that. It wasn't all the time, but we had chess class like once a month.
Okay.
And I remember one time the teacher left the room for like 30 minutes for a long time, and anarchy just ensued. And all of a sudden, we were having a competition about seeing who could throw chess pieces the furthest out the window. And my grade 7 and 8 school was probably like 3 floors up. So we opened this big window, and we were throwing chess pieces down to street level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of my friends managed to get one inside a moving vehicle. Or at least that's what he said. Maybe he was just messing around because he was a 13-year-old kid.
That's nuts.
Yeah, good times. Good times.
There was one time, I wasn't there, but it's a story some of my friends talk about. They were out fishing, And a lot of times you fish like under an overpass because it's like nice in the summer, it's like nice and cool. There's like a stream that goes underneath it, whatever. They were fishing, you know, just casting out there. And then one of my buddies, he just take a big cast. And then he just hears, if you know anything about fishing, that means something has got your line.
Yeah.
And it is like dragging your hook fast. And he was like, fish on. He thought he had like a marlin or something like that. And like an Ohio stream, which is like the biggest thing you're going to get is like an 18 inch, maybe. Yeah, probably 18 inch would be aggressive, like a bass. Right. And he thinks that he has like the biggest fish of his life. Like it's prehistoric size. And then it just keeps going. And then one of the other guys that was there was like, dude, you caught a car. So he hooked a car and literally his entire spool of line is just like dwindling like super, super fast. And then he finally literally just took the entire spool of line, I guess.
Wow. With the car. So what happens when you get to the end of the spool? Is it smart enough that it just lets go, or is it connected and then you lose the rod too?
I'm assuming it just let go, or like the line broke, right? Because a car has way more pulling power than a
fish.
Teeny tiny fish, right?
Yeah, fair enough. And I guess you probably weren't using the same line as like a deep sea fisher would use to pull in.
No.
No. 50-pound tuna.
Yeah. But it was interesting. Well, you know what else is good times?
What's that? Do we have new patrons this week?
Three new patrons this week. I know. People are getting excited.
They must have heard somebody's leaked the new Patreon benefits that are coming. With the new sponsorship. That's what I think.
New this week, we've got SR Woodworking.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, no last name, just Andrew.
Okay.
Maybe Andrew Bernard, perhaps.
I'm looking at Andrew's email address right now, actually, and there's no hint of a last name in the email address either.
Do you know any other famous Andrews?
I've been watching a lot of Office lately, so I appreciate the Bernard reference. But no, I don't know. Prince Andrew, maybe?
Ooh, okay.
Is he the pedo?
I don't know.
But they're probably all pedos.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not up to date on my royalty.
No other Andrew. Wait, you don't keep up on the royalty drama?
No, I can barely keep up on the Taylor Swift drama.
There's Taylor Swift drama? Oh, damn, I didn't even know.
Oh, Zach, where have you been? Where have you been? That's right. You watch Canadian football, not American football.
No, nobody watches. Not even Canadians watch Canadian football. I know multiple people from high school that play in the CFL, and I still don't watch Canadian football.
I bet there are more people who listen to the Green Suitors podcast, available on Apple and Spotify, than watch Canadian football.
I think professional Canadian football players make like 60 to 80 grand a year. So that should tell you how big the viewership is. They all still have like other jobs.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Well, our other job is announcing our new top tier patron, Gary Furness.
Gary Furness? I don't even. Okay. This is why I hate Patreon, because I can't see some of these new people.
Well, don't worry, patrons. I got your back. So that brings our top tier list of patrons to Gary Furness. It's a long list. Chris from Black Forest Creations, Josh at Freedom Workshop, Brooke Appler at Grizzly Bear Woodworks, Dadu, Luke Schmidt, Corey Duvall, Jason Price at Priceless Pro Design, Scott Eastman at EC's Woodshop, and of course, the Power Cocker, formerly known as Wes at Willard Furniture.
Now, my question is, how long is Wes going to keep the Power Cocker, formerly known as Wes, now that we don't have the Power Cocker tier anymore?
Hey, that's up to him. That's up to him.
Fair enough.
I think he's still the highest, right?
Yeah, his new title is Wedge Salad.
Okay. Well, I need to go through Patreon and I gotta make sure update the names to see if anybody updated their name or not or whatnot.
Okay.
But
okay.
Yeah. But so for everybody who's late to the game, Patreon, number one draw, you get the after show. It's basically an entire another podcast. You get to ask us questions.
Yep.
And we're gonna start. Yeah, a little more uncut. We'll talk about dollars, we'll talk about sponsors that, you know, pooped all over us, stuff like that. Not literally, mm-hmm. figuratively. But you get the after show. There's no longer merch. I got to take that off the notes. You can get you can get your name on the show. You mm-hmm. can join our new live hangouts. So it just would be like a big video chat meeting. You don't even have to turn your camera on. You just ask questions. We can talk about anything. Just be having a good time. Yep. But guess what, Zach?
What's that?
I downloaded the Discord today.
You're on Discord now?
And so now I'm on the Off the Cut private Discord.
Hold on. Oh, you are? I got a notification from Eric Spencer.
I have no effing idea how to use this app, but I think I left a comment somewhere.
You left a comment in the welcome section nobody can reply to.
No, it's got a bunch of emoji responses. I'm looking at it.
Oh, right, it's got emojis. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it says, I think
I'm... What's the welcome section?
I think I'm on this thing, but I've got no idea what the hell I'm doing.
It's for the admins. It's just the splash page for everybody to land on and tells you about the Discord.
Okay.
Usually when people first sign up for the Discord, they say hi on the welcome page and everybody greets them. But then you like quickly shuffle off into all the other chat rooms.
Okay. So I'll have to play around with that. But, you know, for all the patrons that are giving me hell, they're like, hey, you know, I signed up for Patreon. I got access to the special server. Eric, where the hell are you? I'm there now.
Well, sure is.
Is that going to be my new bathroom app? Is that what that is?
Might be. I mean, I've been guilty of browsing a time or two in the bathroom.
Okay. I'll figure it out, guys. Give me some time. I'm new. Gotta figure it out. But yeah, if you want to support the show at all, head over to patreon.com/app/offthecutpodcast and be patient, because we've got some even more stuff coming to Patreon soon. We're just ironing out the details with Jonathan.
Yeah, it's funny. We went to all the effort of redesigning the Patreon tiers and we're like, oh, what are we going to include as new perks? What are we going to do here? What are we going to do there? And then basically as soon as we announce it all, we're like, and then there's more coming. Right. It would be nice if we had got it all timed together, but whatever. Sometimes life just works that way.
But I think people are going to be excited about what we got coming out.
I mean, when we were crunching the numbers on, I mean, without getting too specific, but we were like crunching the numbers on like the amount of value somebody might potentially get from what we're planning to do versus what the Patreon costs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the millions, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not millions, but it's, you know. Yeah. It's good.
Let's just say there's money potentially going back to people.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't say that. Because
it might be, we still got to figure out. It might be product, might be money, might be, we'll see.
We're getting a little specific here, Zach.
It's a tease.
Yeah, we got to button it up. Maybe we'll talk about it in the after show.
I think that's a good idea.
That's fair. So I got that chessboard going on. I did a nice, good, because after all the epoxy work, the shop was a nightmare. So I did a huge deep clean on the wood shop in the garage, feeling good. And now I'm like, what the hell do I make next?
Yeah. So, what do you have in the... Do you have any ideas in the queue? You haven't really talked too much about future projects lately.
No. I go through these ruts, maybe you can call it, every once in a while, where I don't see anything that really inspires me to want to build or try a new technique. And then I'm like, I don't want to just mail it in and like just build some crappy piece of garbage that because I think it's very obvious that if I put out a video of something that I'm not excited about,
Yeah, I think it comes across pretty clearly. Right. And, you know, just your presentation and energy and blah, blah, blah.
You're like, oh, and I made this coffee table. Like,
and then I did this, and then I did that, and here it is. It's all done. It's fine. Bye.
So I guess I'm taking, this sounds like I'm a musician. I'm taking a hiatus from building stuff right at the moment. Actually,
what are they? A sabbatical.
Thank you. And I've been focusing a lot more on like administrative stuff. So I've been really trying to figure out like the Facebook thing. So I'm really trying to hit this one. I have to get 60,000 minutes on Facebook to be fully monetized. And I'm really trying to like repurpose a lot of old content and put it into Facebook, kind of like the Workbench Con thing that Brad from Fix This Build That was talking about. No, not Voo.
Oh, I see. Like, oh, yeah. Facebook okay, you're just strategy. Trying to get... Okay, sure. Yes, yeah.
Right. So I've been focusing a lot on that, and then I committed myself to a bunch of stuff with Craig for the holiday season. So I'm doing like plans for their website and whatnot.
Yeah, I saw you just on Instagram. You put out like it was like a little media center for Craig with plans and everything.
Yeah.
Was that an old project?
So Craig isn't listening to this, but yes, that was the second YouTube video I ever put out. But
I was looking at it. I was like, that's like not, well, I don't know. It wasn't bad, but it looked like a more amateur project than what you've been doing lately.
Yeah. But that was what Whitney was looking for. She's like, hey, you know, we want to put some plans on the website. We're really looking for some like entry level, basic beginner level focus stuff. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah. I'm happy to put it on there.
So let me inside baseball this one. Is this a set of plans that you made for a YouTube video a long time ago that haven't ever sold?
Yes. Actually, no, they're free plans.
They were free plans. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So,
look, everybody's happy. Craig is clearly looking to build a catalog of projects that they can sell to people.
Yes.
You provided them with that. Like, so what? Well, yeah.
And they're free. Their number one game is to get their website to be a hub where people go to get tons of different plans from all different sorts of creators. And then when like you're on the plans, it's like, oh, what are the tools you used? Oh, I used the 720 pocket hole jig. Boom, there's like a shop now button. You get it from their website. Their whole thing is to make their place a hub so people come get the plans and get their tools, right? That's what they're concerned about.
Yeah, they're spending time on the website looking at plans, and then there's also, you know, banner ad for other Craig stuff on the side.
Exactly.
Do they have some sort of like discussion portal where people can like talk about the projects and stuff like that? That'd be a good way to keep people on the page.
Mm-hmm. Are they selling the plans or are they giving them away to get people to buy stuff?
100% free.
Free.
All of them.
Did you use any Craig products when you made that?
Yeah.
Set of plans?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, yeah, I don't think it's scummy. It's just like, I have it's kind of the same way I feel about when brands are like, hey, can you make a short form video? And you're like, I literally have all of the B-roll from old projects.
Yeah.
I can just take the B-roll and then just record a new voiceover and I'm done. Like, I don't think that's shady. I think that's an effective use of your time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, if it's, you know, if they just want a video of you using their product and you've already used it, why wouldn't you use that footage?
Exactly.
One time that security camera company came to me and they were like, so I did a YouTube video for them. And then they came to me and they also wanted short form content. And I was like, oh, perfect. I don't even have to go record anything new, really. I can just use all the old footage I have.
It'll take you an hour to chop some stuff up and then do a voiceover. Exactly.
Like, you know what was so funny about that specific project too? That YouTube video tanked, you know, it's like 10,000 views or something like that. The short form video that I made, it's got like 750,000 views or something like that. It's like, okay, well, at least somebody saw that image.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah. But so we should also, when we throw out numbers like that about views, 10,000 views on YouTube is awesome for some channels.
Yeah.
Yes. But when Zach's expecting, you're expecting at least 150 recently. You'd be recently, bummed if you're not hitting 150.
Yeah, but that was like a year ago, so definitely back then I was not. But yeah, now I'm kind of hoping for at least 150 on everything.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But, so, you gotta, whenever we talk about view numbers, followers, stuff like that on the show.
It's relative. It's all relative.
It's relative. Relative.
Yeah, it's all relative to where you are in your journey.
So, like, on our podcast Instagram page that Derek is absolutely crushing, if we get, like, a couple thousand views on one of those reels, we would be like, whoa.
I was
looking at a couple.
I was looking at the Facebook too. We were getting pretty good views on Facebook as well.
I think Facebook's the one where we had something hit over 10,000.
Whoa.
And that's nuts.
And I should say, Derek, when we were talking to Jonathan Katz-Moses on the phone the other day, he was like, who's doing all your videos? Because they're doing a great job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So
he gave you big accolades.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Which, by the way, we should announce to everybody that thank you so much for supporting us on Patreon because of that. We're bringing Derek to WorkbenchCon this year. He's never been, and so we wanted to invite him. And you guys are the ones that sent him there, so thank you.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes, thank you.
So, alongside that, I've been, you know, been working on some of the Craig stuff and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And this goes in because Gary's in the live chat and he just said, your last video was 2 months ago. Are you planning to upload anything new? Yes, Gary, I am.
I thought it had been 2 months too, but then I looked recently. I thought you had one last month.
I don't think so. Really? So, Gary, the way I do my videos is I have about 5 to 10 videos that are fully done, finished, voiceover, everything like that, edited. But, and how do I say this in a way? I'm not trying to sound.
He's arrogant. Waiting for somebody to dump the back up the money dump truck.
Right.
I'm getting paid. It ain't worth it.
I'm waiting for the sponsor to come in that wants to do some 60-second mid-roll ad. Mm-hmm. Because at this point, if you wait for that to come, it's a substantial amount of money compared to not putting a sponsor in a video. And will I get to the point where I don't do sponsors in videos? Potentially. But right now, it's something that I need to leverage to really make sure that the video is a return on investment. So if I spend 80 hours on a video and I get 100,000 views, that's awesome. That's fantastic. But, I mean, you're not making money on it. You're losing money on that video.
Mm-hmm.
If
you can't go back and put a sponsor in
that sense. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I think we've both had months where I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, at what point would I stop relying on sponsors? And certainly I've had months where it's like, my channel made enough that I didn't need a sponsor to keep the lights on. But just to know, like, you could potentially be getting this money. It's hard to turn it down.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. I go back and forth on whether I think sponsors will be like a long-term part of my channel. I mean, at a certain point, I'd love to stop doing it so I can just focus 100% on the content.
Right.
But you have to be getting pretty consistent income from AdSense and planned sales and
Patreon et cetera, et cetera. And every other thing.
Yeah, all those other ones.
Because it's just so variable. Like, even if you get the same amount of views 1 month versus the month before, if YouTube changes their CPM metrics, you could potentially be getting thousands of dollars less.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny. Like, I've noticed my AdSense number has gone up a lot lately.
Yeah.
And so last week I had
it's holiday season.
Exactly. So I was having dinner with Scott Walsh, and he was saying, he was like, well, yeah, it's going into Christmas season, mm-hmm. Black Friday. All the advertisers are upping their spend now because they're trying to get that big holiday push. So every creator on YouTube now is seeing that they're just in general making more money. It's not like, you know, earth shattering, but it's probably, you know, good 50% higher than what it is normally. So the pro tip, by the way, if you're, you know, mid-sized channel and you're, you know, you have a bunch of banger videos, save them all up for the end of the year.
Yep. Yep. But no, so Gary added something else. So Gary, Zach and I work with an agent. His name is Mark. So if you ever hear us refer to somebody, Mark, that's who we're talking about, that helps us procure brand deals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of them will come in, and Zach, I'm sure you're aware of this. Sometimes Mark brings a deal to you and you go, I don't think that's the right fit. And then he goes, okay, no problem. And this stuff takes time. Like, it might take a couple weeks or longer for them to go through legal, review all these contracts, do all this back and forth stuff. So a lot of times, even though I have videos ready to go, sometimes a sponsor, like, you can't get it turned around in the timetable that they want. And you're not going to go with you're just not going to go with them. So a lot of times I'll wait. And then the other thing you added is that the more you put out, the better chance you have at getting someone. Not necessarily, because if you put out videos that don't perform well, then the rate that sponsors are going to want to pay you for subsequent videos is less. So you really want to, like, put out a video and optimize it. Spend the time to change the title, change the thumbnail, really get it to perform well so that you have a higher value to give to sponsors. But
yes,
I do have one lined up. I'm just waiting for it's one of those portable battery things. I'm just waiting for them to send it to me.
But Gary does raise a good point. Like, there is a bit of a chicken and egg thing, right? Like, you
100%.
Yeah, you had to have, like, something to show sponsors. But it's I think this, and again, I think I'll credit Scott Walsh with this. Like, he put me onto this idea of, like, consistency is, like, super important when you go to the negotiating table with brands. If you can show, like, consistent results, and it doesn't even have to be, you don't have to be getting, you know, 500,000 views on everything.
No.
But if you're getting consistently 50,000, 30,000, whatever the number is, as long as you're hitting that consistently, you have a lot more leverage when you go to the thing, because you can say, well, like, look, I can guarantee you X number of views, essentially.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. So, yeah. Because so if you have 1 million views, 8,000 views, 10 million views, 500 views, the sponsor is going to be like, I don't know if I'm going to be getting a million view video or if I'm going to get a video that three people see. And that's terrifying for them as far as, like, ad spend goes.
Well, you're essentially gambling at that point, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's 100% what it is.
Yeah.
But,
I think, you know, like, I've had long periods on my channel like that. You know, I would say basically any time up until, like, the last 3 or 4 months, I was very inconsistent with views. Like, and a lot of time that was caused by sponsors too. Like, I would get a sponsorship and I'd be like, oh, I need to, like, rush to get a video done so that I can put, because a lot of times sponsors will come to you and they'll be like, we want 4 videos in the next 2 months. So I would have, like, one good video and then 3 kind of filler ones.
Right.
So that happened a lot.
Right. And then honestly, the other thing is what was I going to say? Like, for me, the freedom of knowing that I have videos done allows me to honestly to have these periods of time where if I'm not super inspired to make or build anything, I'm not just, like, making crap. Like, I can go, I'm not really inspired to build anything right now, but that's cool. Cause I can still keep moving the business along and I'm not forced to just do something that doesn't excite me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
that's, is there a point, if you didn't have a sponsor that you're negotiating with currently, that you would have to go, you know what, I need to put something out to keep my channel alive?
I wouldn't say, I think need is a strong word, but if it had gone, like, Like, if I didn't have anything lined up this month, I would have just put a video out with no sponsor. Yeah. No problem.
Yeah. I think, you know, at a certain point, like, you need, you know, sponsor bait almost. Like, you need to show that right. your, like, channel's still active and that you're still producing content. But then again, you know, like, that's the nice thing about having an agent is he acts as kind of a middleman. And he's out there negotiating and he's saying, oh, yeah, like, no, Eric's channel is very much not dead. He's got a bunch of videos. He's just ready to go. Like, he's just ready, waiting for your sponsorship so that go. Right. So,
and there's I'm sure that's a
selling point.
Oh, yeah. There's so much behind the scenes stuff, too. Like, I spent 5-6 hours today going through old videos, A/B testing stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm getting videos that are 3-4 years old that I'm sending to the moon right now just by spending a time while I'll watch the whole video, like pull out a couple ideas. What are some, like, you know, emotionally responsive thoughts or statements you could tag along with that video and then change the title and find a different, you know, thumbnail to put along with it. And like, I think there's all of that kind of work that a lot of creators never talk about.
For sure, yeah.
That is so time consuming.
Yeah, and it's like, it's important work that's, unless you have the data of TubeBuddy to back it up, it's kind of nebulous because, like, you'll change the thumbnail and title on a video, and nothing will happen for, like, a couple months sometimes, especially if it's a really old video that's essentially dead. You need, like, it takes a while to gather that insight. So you basically can't do it without the assistance of software.
Yeah.
But yeah, and also, you know, if you're a super busy creator, a lot of people will be like, that video didn't perform well. Okay, I'm so busy, I just have to get on to the next one. I don't have the time to sit there and tweak things until it does work, which is, you know, based on my own experience, is almost always possible. Like, you can almost always to revive an old video by just putting in that extra work, but it's hard to find the time for it.
And that was the thing, one of the things that we talked to John Cesaro from Lincoln Street a lot about is, like, you put so much effort into making these videos. I don't care if it's these are the 10 tools I wish I bought earlier. We all know that those videos you can film in a couple hours.
Yeah,
you're still putting tons of effort into, like, the scripting of it, editing the video, putting it all together, compiling your thoughts. And, like, even if you spent 2 days on it, like, that's 2 days of your life that you just put it on a video and then it flopped. Are you're really not going to spend a little time to, like, try to revive 2 whole days of work?
Yeah. Well, there's like an emotional toll that comes with a video flopping too. Like, if you put out a video and it sucks, you're like, the last thing you want to do is like, okay, now I need to do some self-reflection, figure out why it sucked. And like, sometimes it's easier to just be like, okay, I'm done with it. I'm going to move on to the next thing. I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm just going to keep moving like a shark. Right. But you shouldn't. You should sit there and spend the time. Yeah.
So, like, my most recent video that I put out, I've been spending a lot of time A/B testing, trying to get this thing to go off, because the click-through rate was great. The watch time was great, but it's just not getting viewed. I was talking to Drew Witt about this last week. We were talking about some videos and stuff that weren't doing super great. And he's having the same thing with one of his videos. So it was my Don't Buy Milwaukee Tools video. I changed it. Now it's me holding a Festool domino, and the title is YouTubers Are Liars. And I tripled my click-through rate on it. So it's up at like 15%.
Holy crap.
For a video that's 2 months old, like, that's huge.
Yeah.
So, this is where Zach and I know we're both analytical people. Like, we could spend forever diving into the analytics or really just trying to nail a video and make it work well.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that no one sees about YouTube.
And takes a lot of time.
Yeah. But I mean, after I've watched one of your videos, Zach, I never know if you change the title and thumbnail, because it doesn't show up for me anymore. Like, I don't care.
It's interesting. Yeah. I have had people comment, like, why are you changing the thumbnail and title? And it's like, how would you even ever be in a position to know that? It's kind of weird.
Well,
stalker.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, maybe Stalker. Or there's somebody who goes on the subscription tab or the home screen and says, like, oh, Zach's newest video came out 18 hours ago. And then you go on the next day and you're like, wait, this one says it was yesterday it came out, but this is a totally different title and thumbnail. It's a new video?
It says I already watched it.
Right. Or maybe you haven't watched it yet and it's recommending it to you again.
Yeah, true.
It's interesting. There's so much into it. But yes, to answer the question, Gary, yes. And hopefully you didn't interpret this as like us giving you hell. That's not what we were going for.
No, not at all.
I think it was a really good question.
And
we just want to dive into it. But yes, I have a video coming out. I don't know what, I could probably look at my list. I don't know what it's going to be. I think it might be an outdoor bench that I made. There was actually a lot of fun. With the epoxy feet, yeah. Nice. That was a fun project. Yeah. It could be the table saw video, like setting up the new table saw, why I got it, and like kind of what was going wrong with my old table saw and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Could be one of those. It could be the floating media console that I made. I don't know. I got a million videos, and just I'm putting them out when I feel inspired to.
Yeah. I want to see the floating media console one.
I think you're gonna like it.
Yeah.
I'm considering making that a two-part video because I did like the rough cut of like, you know, where each of your clips are like 3-4 seconds long, like pretty tight, pretty chop, you know, pretty.
Yeah.
It's like 48 minutes. I'm like, that's a long video. But I've got one of my videos, the floating nightstand that I made. It's 39 minutes and it's like 1.2 million views.
Wow. Yeah. So there's definitely something to longer videos. I think the rough cut of the N64 one was like 30 minutes long. And I just went through and just like hacked a bunch of stuff out. I was like, let's get it condensed. Let's make it a little shorter, make it a little tighter. But why do you,
and this isn't me arguing with you. Do you think that by making it tighter, it performed better?
I guess the theory that I'm operating under is that if I can tell the same amount of information in less time, it's less likely that people will tune out. So what I was doing was trying to condense each part. So like, I'm starting to think of videos as, and YouTube even does this, as chapters.
Yes.
So like the N64 one. So you have like the disassembly chapter, then you have the like the soldering chapter, and then you have the 3D printing chapter. So I was trying to chop like little bits out of each chapter so that there are things that are happening, but it's very dense and it's very quick so that the video moves at a good pace.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So that's my thinking is that like, if you can tell the same story in a shorter amount of time, you're more likely to keep people retained.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's funny that you call it chapters. I was listening to something earlier about YouTube creation, and it was a person from YouTube, and they said you should really think of your channel as like a series, and each thing you post as an episode, and then those episodes have acts, so you have different acts within your episode.
For my next few videos that I have planned, I haven't even started making half of them yet, but I have like an essay outline almost. I have the intro, and then I have like 3 or 4 main kind of acts, and then I have the sub things, and I'm trying to like introduce in each one of the sub points is like, here's a technique, or here's a product that I found helpful in the creation, or here's a trick that I found creative, or this part was particularly challenging, and here's how I overcame that. Like just bullet points of like nuggets of information.
Yeah.
And then that's like, that's, and then anything else is like almost irrelevant. So just cut it out.
So what's interesting is I was going to bring this up. but you guys have kind of already said it. I was talking to Drew from Witworks last week. We were talking about all kinds of stuff, like I said, but I was talking to him about his most recent video and like why we think it's been so successful. No slam on Drew. You're building cabinets for his garage. Like, not super exciting, right? But what we were talking about is I was like, dude, that was a 30-minute video about building cabinets. And I was glued to watching the video. Like, I even noticed myself thinking something. So if anybody hasn't watched it, go to Witworks and watch his newest video. I noticed myself as a content creator and woodworker thinking, there's something in this video that's really, really pulling me in. And it's not the cabinets. It's a damn cabinet. Like,
yeah.
So that's what I told him. Right. We've all seen cabinets being made before. It's not exciting. That's why I told him, I was like, hey, you know, the most respectful way possible. Like, dude, you crushed that video. It was the topic was boring. It's cabinets. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't turn the video off. And he goes, I tried something new. I think he had been talking with some other people. He goes, I tried to basically view that video as a series of 30 to 45 second short videos.
Right.
So it's like real fast, real fast. We're going to talk about, and the reason I brought it up, because you were like, oh, I'm going to have like a nugget of information. So he might have a 30-second thing about this, and then now we're going to transfer to a 30-second thing about this, and then now transfer to this one. Zach, I've noticed you've kind of started to do that with a lot of your videos recently in the effort to keep up like the pacing and make these builds that are very technically challenging palatable for people like me who don't know a damn thing about that.
Well, and a thing I also try and do is at the start of, you know, each one of these like quote unquote chapters or sections of video or whatever you want to call it, I try and like start with some like outrageous statement or something that like piques your interest.
Right.
And like, I think a while ago I was working on a phone. I was like trying to solder two batteries together. And then I said something like, and here's the part in the video where I almost blew up my entire workshop.
Because you're re-engaging, pulling people.
Yeah. So trying to include things like that. And I think that's what Drew is saying to some degree. Like, you know, like good short form content, it has to be engaging right off the bat. Right. You got to say something to hook people, or you have to show something to hook people.
Right. Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's a quick dopamine hit that we're all looking for constantly.
Or like just piquing somebody's curiosity.
Yeah.
And if you can do the two at the same time, all the better, right? But I need to hear the next 30 seconds to satisfy my curiosity. I need to see the next part of this video to satisfy the curiosity that has just been sparked in my mind.
Right.
It's basically reels without the scrolling.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Right. Right. Ben, again, whenever we talk about this, these are, in general, things that we've found have been successful. That's not like a concrete thing. There are people out there.
Might be different in 6 months.
Oh, yeah. There are people out there that do the complete opposite. They have a video that's slow as hell, and people stay on forever.
Yeah.
You know, like, you might have 45-second long shots that they never cut the camera, and the videos are still successful.
Yeah, like, true. You know,
we're just three guys on a podcast that are just
speculating
to try to get this dump truck of cash from camtools.com. That's the only reason we're here now.
I was watching a video just before we started. I'm going to try and pull it up right now because I think it was good. So it was Peter McKinnon, who's like a photography, videography YouTube channel, and he was talking to one of the culture community managers at YouTube.
Okay.
That's the thing I watched. Yeah.
Yeah. So the title is YouTube Isn't the Problem, It's You. But he was talking about the culture manager from YouTube, or the community manager from YouTube was talking about some of the things that they look for to show that a video is high quality. Uh-huh. And so they said one of the biggest indicators that a video is high quality is if somebody immediately goes from watching your like the video that they just watched to another one of your videos. Because that's like the biggest, like hitting thumbs up or hitting subscribe or even commenting to a certain degree, like that's pretty low effort. But if you watch somebody's 20-minute video and then you immediately start watching their next video, it's like, oh, that's a good, like, this person likes this video. Like, they're hooked.
Right.
So, you know, how you create that is kind of up to you. But anyways, it was an interesting video just to kind of see how YouTube engineers on the other side are thinking about it so that you can kind of gear your content in a similar way.
It is a damn science.
The thing, and another thing that he said that I found interesting was about, what was it he said? That they don't push creator content out to the viewers. They pull content for the viewers. The algorithm or audience, as they call it, is completely geared towards feeding the viewer, not sending your stuff necessarily out there.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. YouTube's number one goal is to show you ads. So the longer they can keep you engaged on the platform to watch videos, the more ads they're going to be able to show. Simple as that. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. It's it was definitely an interesting and eye-opening interview. So I'd suggest anybody who's thinking about making content should check it out.
Interesting. Well, I think we've gone pretty long on this main
show. Yeah, I think we're a bit over our time limit.
That's all right. But we're going to head over to the after show. But before we do that, oh my God, like something blew up outside.
Really?
Before, I don't know. I'll probably just make it up. Before we do that, in honor of tomorrow's Halloween, today's Monday, tomorrow's Halloween. That's why we moved the podcast to the night.
Yeah, happy spooky day, everybody.
We have got our first green suitors burn.
Ooh. User submitted?
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, baby.
SR Woodworking says, I decided I want to go to Halloween as something that will really scare people. I'll be dressing up as the green suitors. Hold on.
Nicely done.
You see, I got the gunshot in there, too.
I know. That was great.
Ooh, all right, everybody. We got to head over to the after show. We got some questions to talk about today. And there's maybe actually a topic I wanted to ask you about. We'll talk about that next week.
And maybe we tease the potential perks that we have in the works.
I'd say we do. Let's not maybe do it. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. We will catch you next week on not the Green Suitors podcast, because that podcast sucks and it's trash. See you, everybody.